This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fumed. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
Outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're talking about Luke Skywalker's Jedi Order and why it needs to forget everything about the old order. I'm sure this will be fraught with just controversy and no one will say anything bad about us. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Before we get too deep into this, Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. I said bog.
Bog.
Keep the lights running on the bog. That's what Yoda needed.
Either that or we're now a very backwoods fan site.
Mm-hmm. Or a fan site for Be Our Guest restaurant.
Yes, that too. So what's new on the bog?
Well, we got a lot of stuff because it's been 2 weeks or so since we podcasted. Bria explained why Knights of the Old Republic, also known as KOTOR by the kids, needs 3 video games and a TV show. She also reviewed Sabine's sketchbook, which is out last week. She reviewed the latest comics releases, Star Wars number 2 and Darth Vader number 1. And finally, rounding out Bria's reviews, she reviewed Vision of Hope, which was the second to last Rebels episode. Then I reviewed Call to Action, which was the episode that just aired with Grand Moff Tarkin. And I also started my Dark Force Rising retrospective, posted the introduction, should be posting chapters 1-3 shortly. I got held up with things.
Crap, I just realized I've got the finale
for
the review.
Yeah, what about it?
Oh, that'll be fun.
Is there a problem with that? Do you not want
to? No, I just feel like
or
that's
do you want a tag team review?
You know, maybe we should. I feel like it's a glorious burden to have the finale.
No, you don't have the finale. You have the next episode, which was the end of the two-parter, because Call to Action ended on a cliffhanger. There's another episode after.
Wait,
that.
I've got Call to Action.
No, you've got the one. You've got Rebel Resolve, which is after Call to Action.
There's an episode after that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
got it.
So we can do that as a roundup.
We should probably do the finale as a roundup.
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay. So that's what's been new on the blog. Fun times.
Fun times. Fun times. Mm-hmm. I guess that brings us over to Fixer's Flash and the things we've been up to, and we're starting with Agent Carter.
Yes, we're still behind, but we
were saving a couple episodes for the plane.
Yes, we will be on a plane tomorrow, so we will be watching this week's and last week's episode of Agent Carter, which I'm really excited to watch last week's 8th episode because that was with the Howling Commandos, which should be quite amusing. And I am still really loving the show. Your opinion?
You just want all her wardrobe, don't you?
I not even care about that. I just like her.
She is pretty dang awesome.
I mean,
she also has awesome wardrobe.
She does, but there's way more to it than
that. Peggy Carter kicks all sorts of butts. You shouldn't listen to Peggy Carter.
You should listen to Peggy. You should do as Peggy says.
Do what Peggy says.
Do as Peggy says.
Do as Peggy says.
It's a new meme.
And you finished a book.
Yes, I finished Heir to the Jedi by Kevin Hearn, which is the next installment in the last installment in what was the Star Wars Rebels series, then became Empire and Rebellion, and then became nothing. Then became just regular books. And due to fate of publication dates, this book is part of the new cohesive story group approved canon. And it has Luke Skywalker on the cover. And his point of view exclusively. So that'll be a book to talk about.
It will be a book to talk about.
Because we're going to talk about it on the podcast.
Yes, we are.
And there will be ranting. So just to warn you all. I believe that we are able to post our reviews.
Yes, I got a notification from Random House saying we could post this weekend.
Bria might be posting hers. I will be waiting because my review is less of a review and more of a strongly worded rant about things and stuff.
And we should clarify that your issue with the book came at the end.
Yes, it did. It did.
And that's all we'll say about that for now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I will say that Luke was good in it.
Yeah.
Which is important for me.
And, you know, it's hard to find well-characterized and written Luke.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sadly.
So, the book had that going for it.
It did.
So, that's good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Last week was a pretty terrible, abjectly terrible week for me. So we did some therapy over the weekend.
Yes. We went to Disney World, which is, I mean, it's, people are going to say, well, how is that different than every other weekend? But we had a friend, our friend Savannah came, stayed a few nights with us, and we recorded a podcast of her show, and then Saturday morning, we got up bright and early. We went to the Magic Kingdom. We stayed for the afternoon parade. We came home, rested up, had some dinner, and went back around 8 o'clock for the fireworks and other nighttime things, and didn't get home until
about
probably
1 in the morning.
It was probably later than that. It was probably like 1:30. We left Magic Kingdom around 12:30.
That's the latest I've been out in a long time.
Yeah, it was awesome, though.
It was a great time to be had all around.
I kind of want to go back when, maybe on a Friday night when the park is open until midnight and there's not extra magic hours. Because for those who don't know much about Disney, they have extra magic hours for hotel guests, Disney hotel guests, so you can stay later. And Magic Kingdom has some that are open until 2 a.m., also 3 a.m. So if you were there, the park's pretty empty, so you get to do a lot of stuff. And even us, when we were there at midnight, even though the park was open for 2 more hours for hotel guests, it was pretty empty. We got on Big Thunder Mountain in 10 minutes, which is really, really, really good. So that was a lot of fun. And then Sunday, we went over to the coast and went to the Astronaut Hall of Fame, which is part of Kennedy Space Center, and saw some space memorabilia. Then we tried to, we went to a restaurant at Port Canaveral, watched the cruise ships leave. And we were trying to watch the Falcon launch, but it was scrubbed and only went off today. So thankfully it did get off the ground. But so that was our fun weekend.
And finally today, we'll talk a little bit more about this in Deke's Dirt. But let's see. If there's some things Nancy and I really like, it's Disney, it's Star Wars, and it's cruises.
Specifically Disney cruises.
Yes.
And when Star Wars bought Disney. Well, even, no, it was more after that because we didn't go on a Disney cruise together until late 2013.
Yeah, after I moved here. Yeah.
And I remember saying sometime, man, what are we going to do if they ever have a Star Wars Disney cruise? We're going to go, right? And we're both like, yeah, of course. So that's why about 15 minutes ago, we put down a deposit on a Disney cruise for next February. So, yeah, they're doing Star Wars Day at Sea on 8 specific sailings with the Disney Fantasy in Western Caribbean.
So we might be seeing Ewok Chippendale at Sea.
God, that would be the most amazing thing in the world.
Wouldn't it, though?
Yeah, it would.
And we found out we'll also be on board with friend of the blog and all-around cool person, Amy Ratcliffe.
Yes.
And her fiancé, which I think will be then husband at that point.
Yep.
So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be a lot of fun. I hope we meet some other people, other fans on board.
Yeah, so we have the February 6th sailing.
We booked the cruise, kind of not sure if we're going to be able to go or not, but we figured better safe than sorry. if we can't go, we'll cancel. But
We have all the way until November 23rd to cancel without penalty.
Yes, so we booked a cruise.
We booked a cruise.
We booked a cruise.
I'm sure many of you are stunned. And hey, let's actually segue over to Deke's Dirt and talk a little more about what exactly the Star Wars cruise is. They announced this today.
Mm-hmm.
Disney Star Wars. Did StarWars.com announce it as well as the Disney?
Did all
the touch points? Okay. Disney Cruise and StarWars.com announced that they are having select 7-day Western Caribbean cruises aboard the Disney Fantasy, their newest marquee flagship. We'll be having select Star Wars nights on some itineraries.
Yay!
And what does that mean? It means there's going to be character meet and greets, there's going to be themed dinners, themed activities. So it's Star Wars at Sea. What is not to love? I wonder if that's going to mean a second Symphony in the Sky at Sea. Imagine that.
That's on the... it's on the list of special events, Star Wars Deck Party and Day at Sea. But I'm interested because they confirmed to one of the Disney Cruise Line, the Disney Cruise Line blog, that they are still having Pirate Night. But if they're having the Star Wars Deck Party and fireworks, I'm wondering if they're going to have just fireworks that night and not Pirate Night. Because I'd imagine having two fireworks shows at seas is kind of crazy.
What could go wrong with carrying double the munitions at sea?
I'm not even worried about that. I mean, they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. so go take a look if you're interested in cruising and Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot recommend the Disney Cruise Line highly enough.
We really can't, and I know a lot of people have said, oh, there's so many kids and oh, Disney Cruise, blah, blah. Well, I've been on other cruise lines and there's really no more difference in the amount of kids on the other cruise lines as a Disney cruise. For any mass market line, you're going to get a lot of kids unless you book like Holland America or Celebrity. Even Celebrity, there's kids. So unless you book a cruise that does not allow kids or is, you know, geared for older people, you're going to encounter kids. The good thing with Disney is that they segregate all of their areas by age. So if you want to hang out in the adult areas at night and not see children, you will not see children. If you want to go to the adult pool, you will only see children when they are just passing through. And if they stay there, they will kick them out. If you go to the private island, you can go to Serenity Bay, which is the adults-only beach, and not see kids. So,
and it's great.
Yeah.
So go investigate. It's awesome. Moving along to non-Star Wars news, Spider-Man is coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Excelsior!
Ooh, yay!
In a deal struck between Sony and Marvel, they're going to be sharing Spider-Man in joint custody as... So the prevailing thought is that Spider-Man will be appearing in Captain America Civil War, and that Marvel Studios will be assisting somehow, we don't know the extent with the next iteration of Sony's Spider-Man franchise.
Okay.
So it's finally happened. We've got Spider-Man in Marvel's hands. I'm excited. That'll be great. Mm-hmm. And in continuing in the Marvel news, the Daredevil teaser is out, and it looks remarkably interesting.
Yeah, I'll probably give it a go, even though I don't know anything about Daredevil, except it was a movie with Ben Affleck.
And it wasn't a very good one.
And I've lost all my credibility after saying that.
It will be appearing on Netflix, which will be great, because you can watch it when you want. Yay, Netflix. We had some celebration news. Do we want to take this point and put it last?
Do we?
Sure, let's save the best for last.
Okay.
We've got some attendees announced for Celebration in addition to the cast of Star Wars Rebels, which we were all expecting, which we're all excited about. Mm-hmm. Carrie Fisher, Anthony Daniels, and Kenny Baker are confirmed to be in attendance at Celebration this year.
Woo! Woo! I don't think Carrie Fisher was there last time around.
Yes, she was.
She was?
Yeah. We just didn't go because we saw her at we were going to see her at Dragon Con.
Oh, okay. No, we saw her. No, I'm sorry. We saw her at Dragon Con the year before.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. Yay. That's exciting. I'm glad. I hope other people are back too, like Mark Hamill.
Just don't get your hopes up for Harrison Ford because it's not going to happen.
No. It will never happen. I'm actually more looking forward to seeing who they get from the Force Awakens cast as far as the newbies.
I wonder if they're going to bring anyone.
I hope they do, but. It's gonna I hope they do, but
I don't think they will.
Yeah. Who else? They've got some of the authors. John Jackson Miller, Christy Golden, and James Luceno, who all had books come out either recently or will have had books come out in the new canon. John Jackson Miller had A New Dawn, Chrissy Golden will have Dark Disciple coming out this summer, and James Luceno had Tarkin, obviously, and John Jackson Miller is a fan favorite to write the Force Awakens novelization. We'll see if they give us any information about that at Celebration. That would be nice to know who's writing the book, because there will be a book.
I just hope they don't release the book prior to...
Me neither.
Because that would not be good.
Because then you have to basically stay off the internet.
Yep. Please, I mean, everything now are just rumors. The spoilers would come if the novelization gets released early.
Yeah.
So let's not. And finally, as a bit of Celebration news, we've been selected to join the podcast stage as one of the featured podcasts at Celebration this year.
Yay!
We will be on stage on Sunday at 10:30. That's the first podcast up on the last day of the convention. Come join us if you're going to be there and if you like us to see us record an episode live.
Mm. And the good thing about recording on the last day is that there might be news we can talk about during the podcast that's revealed at Celebration.
Yes, and the first hour of the last day also means you're probably not going to miss a panel you really want to be at.
Hopefully. Watch, they schedule Mark Hamill for that time.
Why would they schedule him for 10:30?
And I'll be crying the whole time. Brian, why am I here? I hate you.
Oh. But yeah, we'll be recording live in front of an audience at Celebration, and we would love to just have you listeners there.
Yeah.
We've got a topic in mind, and you won't be at all surprised what it is.
Why don't we just tell them what it is?
We're doing a celebration of diversity in the Star Wars fandom.
Yay! See, get it? Get it?
Get it? Get it?
Celebration.
Celebration of diversity.
So, instead of complaining about things like we usually do, we're going to talk about all the awesome things about Star Wars and the fandom and how great it's been being at Celebration and seeing all different kinds of fans and getting to talk to everyone and meet new people and new friends and seeing little kids, boys and girls, really excited and, you know, people who have liked Star Wars for, you know, 30-something years, you know, people who were, you know, in their 50s when Star Wars came out and are now, you know, still loving Star Wars. So that's the best thing about Celebration. You see fans who are 80 and fans who are like 8.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Me too.
I need to figure out what gear I have to bring, though.
Yeah, that'd be nice to know.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That brings us over into Big's bullshite, in which we discuss the rumors in episode 7 bits and pieces. Not just episode 7, but the standalone films, and we've got a report. Chris Weitz is the new writer for the Gareth Edwards standalone.
Yes. I don't think that's been confirmed, but it's been reported by some of the trades, and usually if some of the trades report it, I will be more likely to believe them than, you know, fan sites or, you know, IO9 or those types of places. So
yeah, the trades tend to vet a little better. So Chris White's coming in to do perhaps the second draft of the standalone that Gary Whitta was working on, had finished up his part and handed it off. In other rumors of the standalone variety, the Variety and Hollywood Reporter are reporting that Felicity Jones was cast in the first standalone as the lead.
And that's cool, because yay, lady lead. But as I repeat all the time on Tumblr and Twitter and Facebook, I can't get excited or interested in this movie until I know what it is about. And the more they keep silent on it, the more my expectations will grow, and then when they tell us what it's actually about, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And in related Lucasfilm news, Chris Pratt perhaps is Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't be opposed to that. I just don't know why they are going to redo Indy or reboot Indy. Kind of, you know, I don't know.
It could be a Bond thing.
It could. I'd rather they reboot it than try to do another one with Harrison Ford, actually, but
yeah, we're kind of done with crotchety old man Ford. As Indy, aren't we? One of those was enough.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to another Crystal Skull.
At least we can be fairly confident that Shia LaBeouf won't be back.
Yeah, I don't think they would have him back.
Not at this point.
No.
And we've got some Rebels rumors. So cover your ears if you don't want to hear this.
See, my policy on Rebels rumors is I don't care about being spoiled for Rebels. I don't know why I don't care about Rebel spoilers, but I care about Force Awakens spoilers. Do you think there's a reason for that? Or just me? I feel like
deep-seated childhood trauma.
I feel like there's less. I mean, not that I don't like Rebels a lot, because I really like Rebels, but I just feel like there's less. It's less intense and involved because I'm at home. You know, I'm doing other stuff while I'm watching the show. When I'm in the movies seeing Force Awakens, I'm going to be completely immersed in the movie. So that might be it.
It could be.
And also because they intend, you know, they make sure they spoil everything beforehand anyway by telling us who's going to be in the episode and blah, blah, blah.
How long did we know Lando was going to show up?
And airing it before it's on TV anyway. So, anyway, there's lots of rumors about cameos. People showing up on the season premiere. Those people rumored include Emperor Palpatine, Ahsoka, and Darth Vader. Also rumors is that Han might show up sometime next year. I wouldn't be surprised, because Lando. However, people are saying that Harrison Ford is going to voice him, to which I go, oh, you sweet summer child.
I got a bridge to sell you.
Your sweet summer child. I'd expect Harrison Ford at Celebration before that to happen. If he does, I will take back my laughter and apologize. But I don't expect it to happen.
I'll do the ice bucket challenge again if it happens.
Although, if they do need to recast Han, I will say that David Collins, who is the digital stage host at Celebration, does a fantastic Han Solo and could definitely do it. So, if they do want Han on Rebels, I would say don't even bother trying to get Harrison Ford nowadays. Just go ahead and
go get David Collins.
Get David Collins to do it.
Much better choice.
He's done the Kyle Newman has written some radio dramas for Celebration, and he did David Collins played Han, and he's really good, really good. And he was the voice of Proxy in the Force Unleashed games. So yeah, I say him. And the big rumor about Ahsoka is that, as people speculated, that she is actually another character who we have seen. That character is Fulcrum.
To which we say, well, no duh.
Yeah, people said it's confirmed. Because apparently the French voice actress said that she was playing Ahsoka, or she was going to be Fulcrum. I don't know if I buy that, but I do buy that that Ahsoka is Fulcrum, because I think it just makes sense and kind of no duh type thing. So yeah.
Agreed.
Those are the Rebel spoilers. You may now go about your business.
Move along. And that brings us over into Cammy's Concerns, our discussion topic for the week. And this week, it's Luke Skywalker's Jedi Order.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this, I know you have just no feelings on this, Nancy.
Nope.
None at all.
Nope.
So I guess we'll start by talking about an article Dunk over at Club Jade wrote. Yes.
And also we need to specify that we will not discuss specific rumors for The Force Awakens. But the discussion is based on discussions. This discussion is based on some rumors we've heard and people's reactions to those rumors.
So we're mostly reacting to the reaction.
Yeah. If you are interested in hearing the rumors, you can go seek them out.
You know where to find them.
The article Dunk posted links to them. So, but we will not mention them here in case you would like to not know them specifically. But basically, Dunk wrote an article about, basically how Luke is the last of the old Jedi, but most importantly, he's the first of the new. And that is what everyone needs to remember. If there's one thing that they keep from Legends canon is that line from Obi-Wan to Luke at the very beginning of Heir to the Empire. It's the first scene with Luke, him having a dream about Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan tells him, not the last of the old Jedi, Luke, but the first of the new. And right there, we start Luke on a different path. It's been 5 years since Return of the Jedi at this point, but in the new canon, I feel like this is something that could be made a point right away. As soon as Jedi's over, Luke is already forging his own path. You know, he threw his lightsaber down, refused to fight, realized what he was doing in his fight against Vader, and decided he was not going to make the same mistakes of his father. But most importantly, he realized he was not going to make the same mistakes as the old Jedi Order. And that, I mean, I hear people saying, Luke can't get married because Jedi can't be married. Luke can't have kids because Jedi can't have kids. You know, the Jedi Order should be exactly the way it was in the prequels, down to the Jedi Temple on Coruscant and them serving the Republic.
I'm sorry, were we talking about the sequel trilogy or every expanded universe novel from Dark Nest onwards?
Right? Well, I mean, Dark Nest, at least they were on Ossus, but then they, you know, moved back to Coruscant after that. And that's true. The expanded universe started out with Luke's Jedi Order, a very distinct group, very different from what we would later see in the prequels. And obviously this was because we didn't know what we were going to see in the prequels. We didn't know anything about the Jedi Order. So the authors had to make it all up from scratch based on lines from the original trilogy and their own suppositions and assumptions. So you had Jedi being able to get married. You had Leia having Jedi twins who were, you know, pretty much trained from the time they were babies. You've got Jedi who are not working full-time as Jedi, I guess you could say, you know, who are doing other things, serving the New Republic or just, you know, doing their own thing. It wasn't until we got to see the prequels and got to see more about them that we had Jedi growing up in the Jedi Temple and being Jedi first and foremost and not having any other kinds of jobs and Jedi serving the Republic and all this stuff. And, you know, say what you will about the Jedi Academy trilogy, but I thought it was really cool that Kevin J. Anderson had the Jedi be very distinct and have their own personalities. You know, you had a historian Jedi, you had pilot Jedi, you had, you know, Dathomiri witch Jedi. They all had their, you had a historian Jedi, they all had their, you know, strengths and weaknesses. And it wasn't just, here we have a problem, a mystery that needs to be solved. It's too bad we don't have a Jedi who has a history as a cop. I wonder where you could find one. You know, basically forgetting that Coronorn used to be in Corsac. Basically forgetting that Leia used to be freaking chief of state of the New Republic. Forgetting that, you know, the only thing they would keep up is that Qui-Gon was a healer. That's really the only thing they remembered, and only because it needed for plot. So basically, they ended up changing what they had established as being a very distinct organization with individuals doing their own thing and being Jedi to being exactly what we saw in the prequels.
And it made everyone significantly less interesting as a result.
It did. They were so boring. Everyone was so boring. It was just basically they were all the same. And except, oh, they remember so-and-so is a pilot when they need to, you know, instead of having that person's character be informed by their past. You know, it just kind of like, oh, let's make generic soup Jedi now, down to the clothes we're wearing.
So that's why we had a problem with the later Jedi Order in the novels.
Yeah, and the fact that people want to just do this now, the same thing in the sequel trilogy, it doesn't make sense to me. Because one of the arguments about not following the Legends canon for the sequels was because they wanted something new. People didn't want a rehash of Heir to the Empire or the New Jedi Order. They wanted stories that were new, that were surprising, blah, blah, blah. I don't necessarily agree that a story that has been told before can't be interesting and surprising, but that's a completely different discussion. So let's say, okay, we want things that are new. Why would you then want the Jedi Order to be exactly the way it was in the prequels? Wouldn't that be boring? How is that new and exciting? It's not new and exciting. It's exactly what we saw before. And not only that, but it doesn't make sense considering the original trilogy and what we saw in Luke Skywalker and how he would act. Why would he do the same things that got the Jedi Order in trouble in the first place? I don't understand it.
And yeah, that's the thing. No one seems to... I'm trying to figure out how to word this without getting a lot of people pissed off at me.
Yes, Brian?
It's one thing to defend the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to defend the in-universe actions of characters and organizations in the prequels when the intent was to show that they were wrong.
Right. I mean, I like the prequels, but I firmly believe that the Jedi Order was terrible. But I also believe that was kind of the point, is because the galaxy isn't going to turn against the Jedi Order unless there's a reason to do so. I mean, the reason Palpatine is such a genius is because he's telling people the truth, albeit extremely distorted. But, you know, if the Jedi hadn't distanced themselves from the rest of the galaxy, and people knew what Jedi were really like, and they knew Jedi themselves, they wouldn't be so quick to believe that they would turn against the Republic and try to overthrow the Chancellor. You know, they would be like... I mean, if you look, the people who knew the Jedi, like Bail Organa, for example, didn't believe that this was happening and realized it was, you know, fake. I mean, he just happened to be there while it happened, but, you know, a senator who didn't know the Jedi that much might have seen what had happened, and then Palpatine might have said, oh, well, that Jedi was trying to, you know, strike down the clone troopers. They had no choice. And people will go, oh, okay, that makes sense.
But, and the reason those senators and the people didn't know who the Jedi were probably stems from the no attachment rule.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think of it like, so we've been watching Rebels for a while. We've seen, you know, Ezra become aware of his Force powers and Kanan instruct him in the ways of the Force. Not once have we ever heard Kanan tell Ezra that attachment is bad. Kanan has his own attachments. And just in the last episode that aired, we have Kanan making a sacrifice for the rest of his crew. That is what a Jedi needs to do. He's willing to sacrifice himself for the larger goal. And he's asking the rest of his crew to do the same thing. To be able to willing to sacrifice him for the greater good. Compare that to, say, Anakin Skywalker, who, upon fearing his wife's death, goes crazy and decides to turn to the dark side. You know, instead of Yoda saying, prepare yourself to let go of all you're afraid to lose, Yoda could have said, you know, sometimes bad things happen and we just have to learn to deal with them. Sometimes you have to sacrifice for the greater good. And, you know, it's how you deal with that that makes you who you are. There's nothing wrong with being attached. Problem is if you turn to the dark side to try to save the people you love. And I think it's really important that we haven't heard Ezra say any, or heard Kanan say any of these things to Ezra, and I hope it sets a precedent, because Luke would have grown up in a different environment from Kanan. Kanan grew up in the temple. He knew all these things. He was raised that way. Luke wasn't. So, if there's no reason why Kanan would turn back to that way of life once, you know, he starts becoming a Jedi again.
The fact that Kanan doesn't say anything, the fact that Obi-Wan never said it to Luke, it's a silent admission that they were wrong.
Right. And, I mean, one of the things I'm interested about in the Star Wars comic is to see if there is anything about Obi-Wan talking to Luke about it, or if we get anything from the story group about exactly what did Obi-Wan and Yoda tell Luke about the Old Order. And I kind of feel like they didn't really tell him anything, because they recognize, I mean, by the end of Revenge of the Sith, they're pretty much all saying, we messed up. And so why would you put these ideas in someone's head if you're wanting them to restart?
And, you know, it isn't just Rebels and Revenge of the Sith that points at this. If you look at the Clone Wars bonus content, that Yoda arc, Lucasfilm seems to be setting up that there's this acknowledgement that the Old Order was wrong in many things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it would be so utterly foolish for the Jedi in the sequel trilogy to just be carbon copies of the Old Order.
Mm-hmm. Can we also discuss something about Luke, whether or not he has kids or not?
Absolutely.
So there's an argument that I believe I've mentioned this before, but just to reiterate it. People are saying that it would not make sense for Luke Skywalker to be married in The Force Awakens because he had no sort of romantic attachments in the original trilogy, and it wouldn't make sense to viewers because, oh, where did his wife come from? You know, what? How did that happen? You know, why? It's too much to throw on people. A, you get a crawl to explain all these things. Just say Luke Skywalker got married and have a kid. Boom. People are smart enough to extrapolate that Luke Skywalker fell in love with someone and had a kid, because that's what happens. You meet someone, you fall in love. I mean, you get married and have kids if that's what you want to do. So if Luke Skywalker shows up and he's got a kid, it's not going to be like, oh my God, how did this happen? Because people...
Well, you know, when a man loves a woman...
Or, you know, he could adopt a child because he might have a reason to want to do that. Just saying. And like, it just means that, like, think people are stupid. Like, and also, okay, I'm not saying I expect Mara Jade to be in Force Awakens, so don't take it this way. But if there are enough people who aren't even familiar much with the EU, who know, they know who Mara Jade is. You know, most people, if they know one thing about the expanded universe, it's probably that they know who Mara Jade is. So if Luke shows up and he's got a kid and a wife whose name is Mara, people are going to be like, oh, we know who that is. And some people who don't might be like, oh, who is that? If he shows up with a random wife we've never heard of before, you know what people are going to want to know? They're going to want to know about her and where she came from and what their story is. And you know what they can do for that? They could write books.
What?
And they can, like, make a TV show and, like, sell stuff, and people would buy it.
So you're saying you don't have to explain everything right there, right then, because you can leave things open for storytelling later?
Yeah. Or, I mean, look at Heir of the Empire, okay? Look at that trilogy. There was a throwaway line to the Outbound Flight project. It's just a way to explain that, yes, this guy, Jor Sabioth, is a clone. And how do they know? Because he was on this thing called the Outbound Flight project and died. 14 years later, a book came out called Outbound Flight that Timothy Zahn wrote about this throwaway line. So, point being is that eventually if people want to know and they want to give you a book contract, they will tell the story. I don't see any reason why they couldn't just have a character who's in The Force Awakens who is Luke's wife. And people wouldn't freak out because it's understood, okay, he met this woman, got married, and they have a kid. It's not that difficult to understand.
I mean, I know that George said at one point that he didn't envision Luke ever having kids.
But he's wrong.
But George doesn't run the franchise anymore.
Star Wars anymore. Yeah.
And, you know, he's done some interviews where he said that Lucasfilm and Disney decided to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And, well...
I mean, if... Okay.
All the respect in the world to George, but they're not beholden to George anymore.
Right. And even if Luke... Okay, let's say Luke doesn't have a kid. I'll be disappointed. I admit it. I will. But there's still ways that he can be different and have the Jedi Order be different. And I think that's important for the entire state of the galaxy and not just Luke himself. The reason why I want him to have kids so badly is because I think it's one of the, if not the most prominent ways he can differentiate his Jedi Order from the old Jedi Order. If he starts the Order, becomes the head, and then goes and has kids, he's setting an example right then and there. You know? And that's why I think that's important.
So, be different.
Yeah.
Dare to be different.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean... There's so many reasons it would be weird to have the new Jedi be exactly like the old Jedi. I mean, in-universe, it's weird because there's really no history of them left.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you completely mirror something that isn't there to be mirrored anymore? There's no record of what it fully was.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense for Luke as a character because it was attachment that got him to redeem Vader and reject the dark side. And in doing so, rejected the old order.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense from an out-of-universe storytelling side because that story has already been told. The sequel trilogy needs to be something else narratively.
Mm-hmm.
So,
agreed.
It doesn't make sense on any front to have the new Jedi be devoid of attachments, to have a prohibition on relationships, to be so separate and isolated from the needs of the people of the galaxy. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a much bigger breaking of the suspension of disbelief to have them be the old order again.
Yep.
And that's all I have to say about that. Any other thoughts, Nancy?
Luke should have a kid.
Luke should have a kid. Okay, well, I guess we're going to wrap up there a little early, but good topic. Don't be the old order. That's already been done.
Don't
do it.
Been there, done that.
Try something new.
Yeah.
Shall we wrap up there?
Yes.
Okay. We should wrap up there. I don't know when we're going to record again. Maybe not next week, but we'll probably be back the week after that.
Yes.
Because we are in Seattle this weekend, and we'll be going to visit...
the Star Wars costume exhibit.
So, check out the Twitter feed.
Yes.
We'll be posting some stuff there.
Yes.
It'll be exciting.
We will take pictures and probably make a blog post when we come back.
Because that's what we do.
Yes.
Let's wrap things up. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the site. Help keep the show running. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winrie, LaneWinree on Facebook. We are the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We will catch you all next time.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.